Good morning. Happy 4th of July, happy 3rd of July, the day before the 4th. We welcome you to Ephesus Baptist Church. As usual, I mentioned to you, this is God's house. It's the place He has provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen,
amen indeed. Our text today comes from Psalm 33, 12a, and other selections of Scripture. And the first one I'd like to read is Psalm 33, 12a, and I invite you to follow along in your Bible or in one from the pew rack in front of you as I read. Psalm 33, 12a. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. May God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. In my opinion, even the most staunch atheist would have to agree that America is blessed. Now, they may not agree as by whom it is blessed, but I think they would agree, I think we all would agree that America is a blessed nation. When Secretary of Education Bill Bennett was asked by a seventh grader, what makes a country how can you tell a good country from a bad country? Secretary Bennett said, I use the Gates test. In other words, when the gates of a country are open, watch which way the people run. And to be sure, more people are trying to enter the United States than leave it. I think this is one indication of the fact that we are a blessed nation. But I submit, however, the blessings we enjoy today are more attributable to the faithfulness of past generations of our forefathers and foremothers than it is to the faithfulness of our generation. The second commandment, which God handed down to Moses, is most illuminating when it's applied to our country. It shines a bright spotlight on the manner in which Americans are living today. Listen as I read from Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. We should be thankful to our forefathers who were faithful, who were men and women of faith and conviction, men who looked to God for wisdom and guidance in developing this nation, men who made worship of God a part of the daily aspect of their life. We should be thankful because God's blessings are extended beyond the first generation of Americans down to us this very day. However, the benefits of such ancestral faithfulness are running their course because America, sadly, is no longer a nation whose Lord is God. Instead, we find many in our country worshiping at the altars of false gods and idols. Americans have turned their back on Jehovah God and have relegated Him to a second-place citizen or at the very most an ATM machine that they go to and stick their hand out and ask for something. Today, I want us to review a few of the false gods before whom too many Americans are bowing down. Americans have And I wish to also comment upon what I believe we as Christians in America need to do to turn back our nation to God. First of all, Americans today are worshiping the God of easy living, God with a little g, rather than the God with a capital G of the work ethic. A willingness to pay the price of working hard in order to build a life that had substance and value is a quality which has contributed to our nation's greatness in the past. But it appears today that our nation is filled with people who only want to do what is expected of them and nothing more. In fact, their dream is to get something for nothing in this life. And if you don't believe that, look at how many states have voted to have a lottery, a something for nothing scheme. We, as a nation, would never have thought of building the establishment of this nation on such a plan as the lottery. Suppose Paul Revere had said, "It's midnight, for goodness sakes. Besides, I'm not the only man in Boston that has a horse." Suppose Patrick Henry had said, "Yes, I believe in liberty, but let's be realistic. Some of us could get hurt or killed, and that could include me." Suppose George Washington had said, "Well, gentlemen, I'm sorry, but I have some personal matters to settle back at Mount Vernon, and besides, I've already fought with the French in this Revolutionary War." Our country would never have been established if our forefathers had possessed the same "I have done enough, I expect something" attitude that most of Americans seem to have adopted today. Patrick Henry shouted, "Give me liberty or give me death." Later generations shouted, "Give me liberty." And today Americans shout, "Give me. I deserve it. I want it. I don't want to work for it, but give me." Our founding fathers believed in the God of the Bible who believed in a work ethic. History teaches us that all civilizations have followed this timetable. And listen to it and see if you do not agree. If you remember your history, see if you do not agree that all civilizations follow this timetable. The people go from chains to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back to bondage. And I submit to you that America is on that track. And if we think of all the civilizations that have gone before us, the Roman Empire, the Israelites, the Persians, the Medes, the Babylonians, they followed that same timetable. Most of them were in bondage at some point, enslaved to another nation, and they went from that to spiritual faithfulness and on down the line to the point that they became apathetic about their freedoms. And then they became dependent on other countries. And then the next thing you know, they're back in bondage. I suggest that we are following that path. Second, Americans today are worshiping the little g God of relativism rather than the capital G God of righteousness. You know, a great cloud has descended upon this nation, and we've talked about this, we've alluded to this before from this pulpit. There's no such thing as black or white or right or wrong anymore in America. Everything is relative. God's word is no longer the standard for behavior. Just this past week in the paper, they had a big gay pride parade in New York. Not only was it the regular parade they have each year, but they were celebrating the fact that New York recognizes gay unions and that the benefits that they all have. How many of us fudge on our income tax? How many of us tell our spouse that we, no, tell him I'm not here. I can't answer the phone, I'm not here. Those little white lies. How many of us are in that gray area? You know, during the Clinton presidency, when they were dealing with the Monica Lewinsky scandal, political commentators stated that the president still maintained a fairly high approval rating from the voters. And the reason was that Americans did not expect as much from their politicians as we did in the past. And Clinton's personal character was irrelevant so long as he was doing a good job. And think about that. How far have we come since then? All the scandals of our politicians. And we kind of just say, oh, that's politicians being politicians. Adultery, cheating, corruption. We tend to turn the other way. And what does the Bible say about such conduct? Proverbs 14:34, doing right brings honor to a nation, but sin brings disgrace. But when it comes to politics and politicians, unfortunately, we seem more concerned about economic prosperity than personal integrity. You know, Pastor Rick Warren writes, and he rightly observes, quote, moral relativism is the root of what is wrong with our society. People worry and complain about the rising crime rate, the breakup of the family, and the general decline of morality in our culture, but they don't realize the cause of it all is that they don't value truth. Today, tolerance is valued more than the truth. How often do we back off and say nothing when we believe that there's a right and wrong, a black and white, and that people are living in the gray area, ignoring God's word? How often do we back off and say nothing? Because our country refuses to accept that there is a moral absolute, we look around and our culture is falling apart before our very eyes. And Americans today are worshiping the little g, God of success, rather than the capital G, God of salvation. We've bought into the idea that achieving success, which we equate with money and material possessions, is the key to fulfillment of life. But despite what worldly success we have, if we do not have God in our life, if we are not a child of God, we still are lonely, guilty, unhappy, worried, fearful, and discouraged. The problem is we've been climbing this ladder of success, but when we got to the top, we realized it was leaning against the wrong building. And more often than not, it's too late for us to climb back down, move the ladder, and go back up, because God's patience has run out with us. Therefore, we can arrive at only one conclusion. America is lost. We are not, as we pledge today, one nation under God. We are a nation running from God. We've done all that we could. Our politicians, our educators, everyone has done all they could to remove God from this society. We're becoming more dependent on other nations. And think about the timetable we talked about. When we reach the point of dependency, we've gone from apathy to dependency. When we reach that point, we're not but one step away again from bondage. Whether that be we're in the clutches of the OPEC oil countries and have to bow down to them and pay their prices that they want, or whether it be truly that we may be conquered by another nation and be occupied. We are slowly but surely heading in that direction. There's no doubt that we need a spiritual awakening and a general genuine revival. And that brings us to the question, what can we as Christians in America do to bring our country back to God? And there are two things. One, we can look to the Lord. Jimmy read this scripture in the opening assembly this morning, and I want to reiterate it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Abraham Lincoln had this to say, quote, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. End quote. And what President Lincoln observed is even truer today. Such is why believers need to look to God and lead in the national repentance. And second, to turn America back to God, Christians need to lay down their lives. John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Now, forefathers pledged their life, liberty, fortune, and sacred honor for the sake of their country. And if we wish to turn America back to God, we must be willing to lay down our lives as well in order for the message of God's salvation to be communicated to every American. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean we have to die, but we have to dedicate our life, and if necessary, give our life for God's kingdom, for the cause of God. But it means we have to give our life daily to serving Him, to witnessing for Him, to standing up for Him, to letting others know that we are His child. Not being ashamed to speak up, not being ashamed to vote for people whose characteristics and whose qualities are those of Christians. Not being ashamed to be let it known that we are going to support such people. How will America be brought back to God? It's a task that will be accomplished one heart at a time. But it'll only happen when we as believers are willing, out of our love for our country and our love for God, to make the sacrifices necessary to win our nation back to Christ. And we need to think about that as we think about the birth of our nation occurring in 1776 on July the 4th. If we want this country to be a country that our grandchildren, our children, our great-grandchildren can grow up and be a part of a society that worships God, we need to work on getting us back to God today. And if you would like to be a part of God's kingdom. We invite you to come forward and accept him as your Lord and Savior today as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 295, and we invite you to stand as